Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Chris, who is here to speak with us about his experience of practicing with Bamboozle 11, Content versus Process. Welcome, Chris.
Hi, Jen. Thank you. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks for being willing to tell us what
sure.
you saw.
You bet. Shall I dive in?
I promised I wouldn't start with, doesn't this one seem like really it's the one?
I know. That's exactly where I was going to go. This is the best.
So we have to stop saying that. People are going to stop believing us.
Yeah, well, it really is in line with, remember that one blog that Sherry wrote, that it's the one we're working on, so by definition, it's the best. So
it's the best, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, and I do think, you know, in defense of us this time, you know, not what but how is sort of the central teaching, or at least one of them,
yeah.
of our practice. And,
yeah.
and that's what this
yeah.
is pointing at. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And that was exactly my experience, how powerful this whole notion
mm-hmm.
of process versus content is, and
mm-hmm.
Just how struck I am by how relaxing that is to know that my well-being doesn't depend on manipulating content, and how exhausting that can be. And, that there's a refuge that's there and available every minute in
uh-huh.
siding with process, with having the intention with process. So,
So relaxing to realize that, wow, I don't actually have to move around the content of my life.
That, yeah, that's right.
In fact,
that's
not
right.
even going to work. So I might
that's
as well
right.
stop trying.
Yeah, exactly so. It's it's one of those impossible tasks, you know, one of those things
mm-hmm.
that conditioning loves to put us up against so that
mm-hmm.
we'll be endlessly busy manipulating
yeah.
content and carrying
yeah.
on with it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
and one of the other things, something like with the exercise with the so I did it with a number of different things, but hanging out for 15 minutes with a tree or with something that's alive. And so
right.
I did it once with a indoor houseplant, a jade plant. So we're hanging out for our 15 minutes. And it really, all of these like labels, so like with a tree, you know, that label of strength or whatever that would be that would come with that. How it seems that those labels are like doorways to process. So I sit down, and I'm with the tree, and at some point that projection of strength, then all of a sudden I'm experiencing it. You know, I'm right there with that process of strength, and essentially all of whatever it is that I'm projecting onto that tree, and you know, moving to that place of, for me, it just feels like a real childlike place of wonder and curiosity and play and, you know,
yeah.
just boundless energy, you know?
Huh. Well, that's so fascinating, Chris, as you're saying that, because I'm going to the experience as you're describing it. And what's really pretty amazing about it is that it does have that, you know, just being fascinated and curious by something does have
yep.
that childlike quality to it. And to pair it with awareness that, you know, a young child doesn't necessarily have, to be able to see, strength, to recognize it as a process, and then to experience that process, and we could even say practice that process as you're having the experience, is pretty amazing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And yeah, because that's what felt like an open like these labels, the label tree is really the door to all of those experiences. And conditioned mind has a bunch of files, it seems like, behind that open door that are pretty static. I really like the language in the description of the Bamboozle that they're fossilized. So
yeah.
They're not only dead, but they've been replaced by stone. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
So, they're cold, and
cold, unmoving, and that it's so funny. It's such an irony, isn't it? That when what brings them back to life is the stillness that we bring to it.
Yeah, Yeah, that just just in being there in that presence, and kind of sifting through all of the, I guess, the belief systems that conditioning has there about what that experience would be, and then arriving at what the all of those processes are, and and then from there it was like so there's an access to process, and it seems that. That all of life, that's exactly what it is, right? That life is a process, and so that I could take that anywhere with anything, and so depends on my level of willingness with some of these things, but with people, and so each of those labels that conditioning might have for anyone that I would know. I can use that, use those labels as open doors or portals into, really seeing the process behind all of those things. And,
That's exactly what I was thinking as you were first talking, that it's such a training ground for then being able to really live our lives in process, which is the thing that gives us the choice about where to focus our attention. Right? Because once we realize everything is a process, I'm in a process of fear, I'm in a process of love, I'm in a process of whatever it is. But so once we recognize that, then we can catch on to what process is happening and then choose which process we want to practice.
Boy, that is so good. That's really it. And if we're really busy manipulating content, then there's just not much choice in it. But exactly so, that once I tune into where the process lies and a way to get there, then, I can sure start practicing directing my attention there all the time.
Yeah, you know, as you're talking, Chris, I keep thinking about this recent conversation I had with someone who is not directly involved with practice, but someone who, you know, in her own way, she has an awareness practice. And talking about her reaction to the election and how surprised she was by, you know, her big reaction to the election. And I was just saying that, and that took her to a place, I project a story in her head that took her to fear. And as I was talking to her, I said, you know, it just sounds like from what you're describing, there was such a profound process of care happening there. Mm. And I think for her, it was like, oh, well, I guess actually that is true. And it just strikes me as you're talking that in this training to train to be able to, you know, see that it's not the content, it's the process, that then we recognize we can stay with that, oh, this really is a process of care. So instead of being pulled up to a story about something, we can stay with that process of care.
Exactly so. Yeah, and along with that, so right before the call, one of the things that was dropping in was that being with process unlocks the mystery in life. And when that came in, I thought, well, that's really an interesting way to describe it, because it sounds like just what you're saying, right? We can be in that process of unfolding. But one interpretation would be something like, conditioned interpretation would be, it explains the mystery. But actually, that expression seems like it unlocks the mystery, meaning it puts us in the mystery.
Yes. And explaining the mystery is just that movement towards fossilizing it, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah.
100%. That is so beautiful, Chris. That process unlocks the mystery. Wow.
Yeah, like it explains something, but it doesn't. It really puts us in that mystery. And so... Very exciting.
It is exciting. It's very exciting. And all the way back to what you started us with, it's so relaxing, such a relief to really, really get it. Wow, I'm not ever going to even be able to, you know, move my life around on the content level the way the voices say I should be able to or I want to or, you know, whatever. So just to relax into that process and be left with the mystery. What a joy, what a gift.
Yeah, exactly. And then that dovetails right back into the curiosity and the play inside that mystery is always available.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, gosh, we're already at the hour. Was there anything else you wanted to add in before we end?
Let's see. I guess one other quick thing would be, again, just marveling at all of it, how not only is there that opportunity to be in process like that, but when we are, I don't know how to describe it, it's like there's another process available that life is friendly to the point where it provides a process for staying in process. I mean, it provides guidance for how to stay in that place of process. And, like there really is a place for the attention to go in that and to find a safe harbor, to find refuge, to, you know, something like that.
Well, what drops in for me when you say that is that that place of getting to a place in practice where we realize that anytime there's suffering happening, so on whatever level, you know, I'm anxious, I'm afraid, I'm, you know, I hate this, whatever it is, that becomes a cue to us of like, wait a minute, I must not be in process, I must not be here.
Yep.
And I don't know if that's a piece of what you're pointing at, that there's that always that invitation to come back and see, something else is possible here.
But it's really one of those excellent check-in places, kind of fail-safe check-in place.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, to check in. What process is going on here right now?
Yeah.
That's great. Well, thanks again, Chris, for being with us and sharing your experience.
Yeah, thank you again.
Okay.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye. All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Chris. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. How are
How's
you doing?
I'm good. And yourself?
Good. So good. But I got to tell you, I could have just sat here and listened to them talk about that for the rest of the hour, couldn't you?
Yes, it was quite fascinating.
That was what we would call riveting.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I especially appreciated that part at the end about being in process and what helps us to stay there, continue that.
Yes. Yeah, the process to stay in process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, let me tell you, we, just briefly, we are having fun at the monastery.
Oh.
So many people know that I was telling folks about the drought and the dire circumstances that puts the monastery in, and we talked about getting water tanks and that sort of thing. And for the last 2 days, we have been working from early morning until the dark and cold, getting the first two of the tanks in. It's supposed to start raining on Thursday, and so we're hoping that we have things in place to catch at least some of the water that we're going to get in the 4 days once it starts raining. And it is, I just think it is the most fun a human being can have. So we've got some pictures, and I bet in the next newsletter that comes out, people keep an eye open for it. That it's hysterical, really. I mean, this tank that we were moving around today is 12 feet across and 9 feet tall of this, you know, this black, plasticky, rubbery stuff water tank.
Yeah.
It's just, it's enormous, and we're trying to push it across the monastery. So it's definitely high adventure. So,
wow.
Very fun. Yeah.
Yes. And I loved reading about the whole project in the email about being responsive to life and what's possible. And going for it.
Yeah, and we are. Yeah. Once that decision was made, it was, California, you don't have a lot of chances to get rain, so we want to be ready to get as much as we can. And we've already filled the, we call him Chubby, I don't know if it's him or her, actually, but our first tank is already full, and so now we're putting in place a little one that we'll definitely work on filling up during these 4 days of rain, and then we're putting that massive one in that will begin to capture the rain that comes off of the meditation hall and bathroom section of the building. So it's cool. Huge. It's an enormous project, but so fun to do it. So
sounds like it. Sounds wonderful.
Yeah. Yep.
Yes.
And in fact, we'll talk to Jen about having somebody who's here on the property working on these projects talk about what that's like. Because to me, you know, there's somebody said recently, who's a visiting monk, that this is the best vacation. This is the best vacation ever to be a visiting monk at the monastery. And,
yes.
And you know, for a lot of reasons. But for me, yes, that's true. And being able to participate in these kinds of projects that have such a huge impact on so many lives. It's just, and it's really fun to do it all together. You know, it's very, very physical, and there's a little element of danger. You know, are we going to tip this giant thing over on ourselves and, you know, like that. So it's fun.
Yes, I can
picture. Here's a little update of what we're up to.
Good. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Do you have some other things we could be up to?
Yes, there are. In fact, here we go.
Okay.
In the wake of the presidential election, many in the Sangha have reached out to practice for perspective. Mm-hmm. And in response, a special call-in practice support, Seeing with the Eyes of Love, is being offered weekdays from 9 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. Pacific Time.
Mm-hmm.
And for call-in information, visit schedule.livingcompassion.org.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been great. I just love it, having that daily support, and you and Ashwini and Sangha. It's just fabulous.
It's good. As Sherry was saying this morning, it's a marvelous way to start the day, right? Just to set the tone. Here we are. So often people will kind of get to, you know, maybe have a meditation in the beginning and then survive the day, you know, all the stuff that comes up forth during the day, and then maybe in the evening another touch-in. But to start off with a group like that where we're all focused on one topic, right, one subject, which is choosing love, and no matter and all of the ways that can look for us. It's good. It's very good. And as I was saying to people this morning, you know, everybody's welcome. So if somebody is part of practice and they have friends or relatives who are also wanting some kind of perspective, and they would like to join us, they're certainly welcome.
Yes, it's great. In fact,
just
I was
listening
to. Yes. Yeah, wonderful. So inclusive. And I was listening to today's recording on the way to a meeting, and it was just perfect because I was like, oh, yeah, love. That's what I'm bringing to this meeting. Love.
That's right.
And it just
makes
everything so clear and so simple.
Yeah. Other people who were there think that it has to do with something else, like whatever the content of work is or whatever the agenda is of the people there. But we know that whatever is going on in life, it's about love. It's all love.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And Reflective Listening Buddies is a powerful support for conscious, compassionate awareness, requiring participants to show up weekly to practice being present. And a new quarter begins January 15th.
Oh, good. For people who were in the email class on communication, that was I kept referring to that. And now if anybody was wondering how to get those facilitator skills honed, this would be a great opportunity to do that.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. And start 2017 with lots of great support for practice at the annual New Year's Retreat in Menlo Park, California, in the San Francisco Bay Area. This mm-hmm. popular retreat runs from December 27th to January 1st and features meditation, group discussions, yoga, and guidance with you, Sherry.
That's it.
Yes. And great food, too.
Great food. It's a good time. It's a pretty place. It's really a nice way to start the year. End
yes.
one and start another.
Mm-hmm. And a reminder that retreats and other offerings for 2017 have been posted on the Living Compassion website.
Mm-hmm.
So for these and other opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can make a show by pressing *6 and then 1. And a conversation of about 5 minutes in length and on one topic is great. And with that,
right.
let's get started.
All right. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Michael. Hey, Sherry. It's Sridevi in Philadelphia.
Well, hey. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. Haven't seen you since the bridge walk.
Yes, but I wanted to add on that I have had the lucky opportunity to get to be listening into the daily show, and since I'm on the East Coast, it's a great way, even if you've been a little bit through your day, to come back and check back in after conditioning got you a little bit. So it's a wonderful.
That's right.
I love it.
You have lunch with us, huh?
Yes, I have lunch with you guys.
That's right. I forget about that. Oh, good. So, yeah, even if you got your morning meditation and your practices, mm-hmm. whatever those are, and then if you get a little bit snatched even during the morning, it's fine because you come right back to center at lunch, and that's very good.
Yeah. So I was calling kind of to check in and really looking at the place that I think would be helpful for me to get some guidance around, which is living in the place of I don't know. I think, you know, post the election, but even prior to that, and there's so much energy around having to try to figure something out. and I've actually noticed this coming up as a pattern in my dreams. Almost consecutively for several months, I find myself dreaming about something I have to solve. And I wake up seven mm-hmm. or eight times in this dream state, and I got to figure it out, got to figure it out, got to figure it out. And I've been watching recently so much energy around content in my life. Okay, well, what am I going to mm-hmm. do about this? And what if that happens? And okay, but oh, my God, I don't know if I can do that because, oh, my God, what if it's just so much living in the past and the future and so much energy of having to know something. And I think coming – and this got – heightened a little bit post-election because there was so much energy of got to ask, join this and sign this and call this person and do this thing. And I remember just as all of this was happening going, you know, I don't feel like I know enough yet to know how to move forward. I feel like I need some quiet and some stillness and to refocus on strengthening my practice and then allowing life to kind of guide me. And watching this voice just come in with so much energy around having to make a difference right now that if I don't act right now, the entire world is going to fall apart and it will be all my fault if I don't do a million things every day. And I guess it keeps coming back to me for like just living in the place of I actually don't know anything. And I think I need to stay in some stillness and allow some guidance from life of exactly where the next part of my path should unfold. And that's kind of just what I'm sitting with right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and those are not usually exclusive, right? And so we're trained to think that they are. So I either need to be acting or I need to figure something out, or mm-hmm. I need to be still.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that, this will be no surprise to you, okay, but the thing that draws all of those together is getting out of the conversation and conditioned mind.
Yes.
Right? There's the stillness that we're looking for. There's the guidance. That's what enables us to stay in, I don't know, mm-hmm. which we don't, and we never do. And that doesn't preclude acting in the moment.
Yes.
And the way we can practice that, of course, is moment by moment throughout our day. So if we are in that stillness of, I don't know, no conversation and conditioned mind, then it's the process Chris was talking about a little bit ago. The guidance is there for us. So now you know it's time to get up, and you know if you want to have tea or breakfast or whatever, you're going to meditate for this long, you're going to take your shower, you're going to, what you're going to wear, you know, whatever it is. It's there for us, and we act in accordance with the guidance that life is providing. And we get fooled. Again, we get conned into believing that, well, life isn't guiding you about those things. You know, it needs to be big, like, should you fly to such and such to protest something or other? You know, that's the kind of thing I need to fix. That's the kind of guidance I need. And I just don't know whether I should or not. These other places are much more manageable, and the process is the same, even though the voices would have us believe that there's content that's important and content that's not important. But in fact, the only thing that's important is the process.
And what's really dropping in hearing that is how important for me right now that schedule of how I support myself, not the conversation about all of the things I have to figure out, but the schedule of what are the things I'm going to do today. I'm going to get up and I'm going to meditate. I'm going to eat this tea. I'm not going to go have the, you know, soda or whatever it is, you know, the thing that's not helpful or healthy in the morning. You know, at noon I'm going to listen to the show, and then I'm going to go do this, and to put my energy there, because I think what feels very true is that seeing the energy gets so focused on figuring something out or having to know something, with the realization there's actually nothing I can know. But just so much right now is around that actually what will be most helpful to this human being is to focus on those things that actually, to your point, the voices say is not important content, but probably is going to be, for me, the most critical content to focus on, because it's what allows me to be present, whereas the other other content does nothing but the opposite.
Yes. Yes, exactly so. And the thing, of course, that I think is most critical for us to remember is that basically nothing we do matters, right? we're my little way of looking at it is we're going to be dead really soon, and we're going to be dead for a really long time. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, if you have another 50 years, you're going to be dead really soon. Right? Because it's going to go by very, very quickly. And in the scheme of things, it's absolutely nothing. So whatever we do is a very big deal to us. But in life, it's really not a big deal. So to me, that frees us up to say, so what is important to me? How do I want my life to be? Because that's all that really matters. How your life is to you, how you feel about your life, the experience that you have in your life, that's really all that matters. And so from that perspective, how do you want your day to be? And it may be that you decide that, you know, it doesn't sound like this, but you want to become a political activist, and that's what you want to do. You want to devote yourself to making as big a difference as you can in the political scene. And so that's what you do. And if that's what you want to do and that's what makes you happy, then that would probably be a very good thing to focus on. Now, of course, what I would encourage anybody who decided to go in that direction to consider is, if you have an outcome that you have in mind, then the likelihood that you're going to be unhappy in your life gets very big, right? Because probably, yeah, we're not going to be able to accomplish the things that conditioned mind sets up for us as content standards. So once again, if we choose process, so you want to be kind, you want to be present, you want to be a blessing to people, you want to be happy. Okay, well then that's where you want to put your focus and your energy. And if you do that, I would suggest the chances that you would ever have a different experience than that get really small.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting is I can see myself going, I want to be kind and I want to be someone who's compassionate. And those feel very accessible. And I watch when the word happy comes up. There's such a trigger for me internally because happy, and I guess in this conditioned world, is based on content, which I know isn't true, but it's very linked to content in the conditioned world. And I was watching recently that the thing that conditioning does of, if I had this, everything would be okay. Oh, if only this happened, it would be great. If only this happened, you'd be happy. And I was actually remarking on how everything that it said I have had at some point in my life, it just so happens what it's saying I don't have right now. But I've had it before, and I know I wasn't happy then, so that belief.
Right, that's right.
Because yeah, I know for a fact, I when I was there, I was not happy.
that's right. And so that's really good, isn't it? Because what you realize is that conditioning has hold of that, like it gets hold of everything for people.
Mm-hmm.
And so then it becomes, if you said, I want to be happy, then that becomes a practice, right? That's a process that you will need to understand for yourself and master.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because if it's conditional, you know, anything that is conditional. So when we say love, we almost always say unconditional love. Because conditional love, oh my God. Talk about a source of suffering. Conditional happiness? Oh, my goodness gracious. Yeah, as long as you've got that house, that car, that partner, that whatever, then the conditions are the way you want them to be, and you're happy. But they're not going to stay that way. Right? We all know that. They just don't for anybody, right? So if your happiness is unconditional, then it doesn't matter what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, and I guess just to close, because of course I want to let as many people get on as possible, the thing that most demonstrated that to me was I had this moment after the election happened that was very humbling for me, which was thinking that if whoever I had wanted to win had won, would I have ever stopped to think about the people whose person didn't win and what their lives were, how they were affected? Would I have ever actually thought about things that I'm thinking about now, and the gratitude for the way things happen and however they happen, because it allowed me to actually have, as a result, more compassion, more awareness than I think I would have had if it had gone the other way.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And we talked about that a little bit on the call today. Probably a huge percentage of the population would have just kept right on snoozing if the election had gone the way they wanted it to go. And so, you know, if we're paying attention at all, we really can't hope for that. Oh, I wish everybody would get what they wanted so what you know, their ego is identified with, so that they could continue to be unconscious. I just don't think we want that.
All right. Well, thank you so much. It was so great to speak with you.
Well, great to speak with you, Sri Devi. Take good care of yourself.
Thank you.
Okay. Good night.
Good night. Good night, Michael.
Good night. Thanks for joining us, Sri Devi. That was a great conversation, Sherry. Wonderful.
Good.
Yesterday's peace quote was that happiness is the absence of striving for happiness.
Exactly so. Yes. Yeah. And, you know, it's kind of like, they're all sort of spiritual tricks when you catch on to them, right? So dissatisfaction is ego's deal. You know, whatever is going on, ego is dissatisfied. And so it's always finding something wrong with something. There's something's missing, something's not enough, something's not okay, so that that conversation will be going on. But being satisfied is really quite simple. We just have to be satisfied with everything as it is, which is, you know, actually just intelligent, because it is as it is, whether we're satisfied with it or not. But if we agree to go with life and to be satisfied with everything as it is, then we're always happy.
Yes, yes. Brilliant. Brilliant.
Mm-hmm. We don't have to strive for anything, because it is what it is what is. So we say yes to that. We're happy with that. We're happy.
Yes, we are. Great. Mm-hmm. Great. And Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsor now, and then we'll be right back.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Sherry, we were going to hear from our sponsor, except we got a technical error here.
They disappeared.
Well, it's all here. It just said error on the server. And so that's technology for us, huh?
Yeah. Yep.
Yes. Yes. Shall we head on to our next caller?
Sure. That sounds great, Michael. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry, Michael. This is Catherine from St. Louis.
Well, hello.
Hi.
Catherine. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I could use some guidance about something I haven't really ever, I haven't talked to people about for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's just a lot of self-hate going on, and what I'm doing is really overeating, and it's I'm eating kind of to the point where I really don't feel good, and I've pretty much done this all my life, and what I'm noticing is, I mean, I can kind of for maybe various reasons, maybe just the physiology I was born with, but I'm able to not to gain huge amounts of weight. So I can remain sort of healthy. And so it's not like it's, you know, my cholesterol is okay and I'm not obese and, you know, that sort of thing. So it's not like, it just doesn't ever seem to be anything I really have to worry about, except the pattern is to, well, I'm going about my day and I'm thinking I want something to eat that's usually junk food or sugar, and that's going to be my treat.
Mm-hmm.
And then I eat it, and I eat way too much, and I feel terrible, and I hate myself, and I throw all the food away, what's left. And the next day, I go buy some more, and
I do on top of everything else.
Yeah, really. And I think more than anything, I want freedom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like... it's not something I'm terribly worried about. health-wise, at least right now. But I'm just, it's not good. And it's,
no, it's not good.
There's a lot of self-hate going on mm-hmm. around it.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, that's the whole thing, right? It's, to me, it's when you describe it like that and we find ourselves in that kind of situation, and it's true with a lot of folks at various times in our lives with a lot of different content. But it's almost as if the system is saying to you or to anybody in this situation, I can make you do whatever I want you to do.
Mm-hmm.
I can mm-hmm. make you do whatever yeah. I say. I can make you eat the wrong things. I can make you eat too much. I can make you do anything, and you'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, for me is always a place of, you nasty little so-and-so, I'm going to put an end to you, okay? Because mm-hmm. it's just that kind of, I hate that kind of bullying. But it's really getting ourselves to the place of seeing it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So mm-hmm. not that you, let's see how to describe it. It's not that there's nothing going on with you except you won't take on that bully.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm
so
just quoting it.
So it says, it wants you to do, and eventually you say, okay, yeah, all right, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
And what's involved is, of course, you getting to the point of saying, you know, this is the place where I think it's helpful for you to step back and see that person who's been kept in that relationship and say to the bully, you know, you're not going to torture her that way anymore. You're
mm.
cruel and hateful, and no, I'm not going to let you do that to her anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Can you
yeah. okay.
see the difference there?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
So it's kind of if you little dog, and the neighbor throw food over the fence to the dog, and the dog eats too much and gets sick and doesn't feel good and all of that. You know, you ask the neighbor not to do that, and the neighbor just keeps doing it and throws cake over and throws, you know, all this stuff over, and you keep asking, you know, please don't do that. It's not good for the dog. And they just keep
mm-hmm.
doing it. And after a while, you would get to the point of saying, look, I've told you, and I'm not going to tell you again. It's over. It's not going to happen anymore. And it's got to be that same kind of disidentified resolve. You see, because it can't be you. It has to be her. Because if you're playing all those roles, then when that bully comes at you, you're the one who is listening to the temptation. You're the one getting bamboozled and pulled in. You're the one acting. You're the one feeling bad. You're the one getting a beating. You see, and you've got to separate it out so that you see that the one who's being tempted is really vulnerable and needs protection.
Hmm. Okay. So I need to take on the mentoring and stand up for her role.
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You get a sense of it? I haven't ever approached it that way before.
I noticed that, so like when I'm at the monastery, so I've spent maybe a week there, not quite a week, this fall, and their food was just not an issue.
Right.
This was not I didn't want to eat. you know, I mean, I didn't, there's not, you know, a lot of junk food hanging around at the monastery, but I mean, I didn't even want it, you know, which is really interesting.
It is really interesting.
Okay.
Yeah. And
Sherry?
You're breaking up there, Sherry.
Oh, wow. And I'm right here. I have not moved a single muscle. Goodness gracious. All right, am
Say
I
that
here?
Last sentence one more time. Yeah, I can hear
okay.
you.
Okay. So what's going to happen is that the bully will try to make it into a contest.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you fall for it, if you get bamboozled, then you fail, then you – and so don't go there. What you're learning to do is not be controlled by a bully, and that is a process. And you're going to go through that process – learn everything that there is to know about it, and when you complete the process, you'll be free of the bully.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, you may, I was telling somebody just recently, when I stopped smoking cigarettes, oh, my goodness gracious, I don't know if you had that habit, but, I mean,
I did,
thought,
and I quit,
yeah. This is just never happened. I am.
Sherry, you're breaking up
there
again?
Wow, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't.
I can't do nothing about it because I can't be any stiller.
Okay.
So anyway, just that, you know, it's a process. It's not a contest.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how long it takes you. It only matters that you see your way to being free of a bully.
Okay. Okay. Sounds good.
Keep us posted.
I will. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Catherine. Sherry, that was such a helpful conversation to frame it that way as I can make you do whatever I want. Just really.
It's so creepy, isn't it?
Really, yes. But that's the experience. That is exactly
Yeah, that is exactly what happens to us, right? Because, you know, it starts in on sugar, you know, and pretty soon it's like, okay, I'm going to eat sugar. You're right. Or, you know, whatever it is. And to get to the place of realizing it's not about the content. That's how we started out this thing, huh? It's not the content.
Yeah.
It's just the control, being controlled.
Yes.
That's the killer. That's what's at stake.
Yeah, who's in charge?
Yeah, yeah. Am I master of this person and this life, or am I being controlled? And people will confuse it. And I think it's the reason that it's such a difficult, painful subject is that people think when they are really listening to that ego system that they are in control. So you want me to go to the grocery store and pick up the whatever it is, and you can't control me. No, I'm not going to do that. You can't tell me what to do, right? And I don't realize that it's a voice in my head that's controlling me, not you. So once we make that. Once that relationship is solidified, hey, I make my own decisions. Nobody tells me what to do. You're not going to push me around. You're not. Then that voice, it has complete, absolute charge of me. And then it does the kind of thing that Catherine was talking about. So it can control me. No, you're not going to meditate, or no, you're not going to whatever it is. You need a cup of coffee. You're going to have a cupcake with it, you know, and I'm really helpless because I've established that it's the boss of me. And I've been willing to go along with that because I've believed it is me. And it's such an important point in spiritual practice to realize that that voice that we listen to, that's not me. That's the voice of ego that controls me. So now that I catch on to that, I can start seeing when it's controlling my behavior around other people and when it's controlling my behavior around me. But it's always it.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And we have another call here.
All right, good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Greta.
Hey, Greta.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well, thank you. How are you?
Good. Good. Getting water and staying warm. Two big life purposes here.
Yeah, for sure. Exciting to hear about the new Chubby family.
Yeah, that's right. Chubby's family is growing. That's right.
Well, I think a lot of what you said to Catherine applies, and we'll see. So I'm looking at a process that's somewhat similar, other than I don't feel like conditioning is particularly making me do anything except for feel bad and suffer. And I'm not sure that this is exactly the case, because it's a lifelong process that it seems like it's ramping up. And I think it's in particular ramping up because the alternative is becoming really obvious, and that is every morning that I can, listening to the seeing with the eyes of love, and really getting it that's a place I want to be living from, and really just so much appreciating what that perspective would be like, how different that would be to be in the world from that place.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. So
which says to me that you are having that experience, right?
Right.
You're
right.
Having that experience.
That love is a process.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Say it again.
That love is a process, and that I can
yes.
go there to that experience when I'm participating in the radio show, for sure.
Yes. Yes. So, and you can see what it would be like to live in that place all the time.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really helped me to start to look at sort of those broader questions, like, you know, what do you want for the world? Well, sometimes that's just sort of ambiguous, but when I look with the eyes of love and I see the kind of care that I want for the world, it's not ambiguous at all. It's really pretty
yeah.
clear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we see very clearly the egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate that really doesn't want that and really doesn't want you to want that.
Right, right. And especially not for this person.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's a good point. It really doesn't care that much about everybody else. As long as you're suffering, that's the host that it's most concerned about.
Yeah, so sort of this lifelong process, and I know everybody has it, so I know it's not unique, and yet when it's happening, it just, you know, you're an outsider, nobody cares about you, you're not the right person, you don't have any friends, this whole long litany. And I can watch conditioning come up. So someone will say, oh, well, blah, 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 and so-and-so and I did such and such. And it'll go right to making something about me because I wasn't included, and therefore, and it goes on to this, you know, blah, blah. And I can see it because it goes right to making it about me when it had nothing to do with me. Someone else is relating a story to me.
Right.
And if I care about the other person and I'm looking with the eyes of love, then I'm just happy for them that they had that opportunity, and great, they had a good time. That's what I
yes.
would want someone to want for me.
Yes.
But it
yes.
sucks me in, and I just go to this three-year-old place. You know, it is a lifelong process for me, and I just sort of melt into this puddle of feeling bad. And it really knocks the knees out from under me. It's hard to get out of that identity once I fall for it.
Uh-huh. And so do you, so it's kind of you're the only one who didn't get invited to the party, or they everybody's birthday gets remembered but yours, or everybody got Valentine's and nobody sent you one.
Yeah, it's that whole process, yeah.
Yeah, and so what do you do to take care of her in between these events?
Well, that's why I wanted to talk to you, because there's a place where I've been practicing with the mantra even before you challenged us and upped the ante. So I have been practicing with it, and I've seen a lot of benefit to just being able to stay centered and choose what I want for myself. And so when I get to this place about taking care of that person who gets caught by conditioning, that's why I wanted to ask the question, because it feels like a tricky place in the sense of, is there an identity there that really needs protecting, or like you were talking about with the previous caller, somebody to get between the bully and that person and say, no, you're not going to do this to her? Or is it just all this big conditioned sort of trick? That's what I don't know.
Well, I think probably a number of things, Retta. And one of them, yes. And whether it's, it's somebody young who gets their feelings hurt, or whether it's ego masquerading as somebody young, that's something that you'll need to sort out, right,
mm-hmm.
through paying attention. The difficult to get back from it makes me think it might be more an ego identification happening than anything else. Because, getting our feelings hurt, so you look to somebody else, that story that you just related, and it comes in with, well, nobody invited you, or you didn't get to. That kind of attack, the person, if you're there and centered, then it'll be turning your attention to Greta, and the response to that is exactly what you said. Well, that's nice that they had that time, and I love being here with you. I love what we're doing. And that, if it's somebody vulnerable, that person is going to be happier with that response. Now, not the first time, second, third time, but very quickly, will be happier with that response from you than anything from anybody else.
Right.
If not, then you are probably dealing with ego talking to ego.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's really just an opportunity to get out the magnifying glass and see what's really
yes.
going on, and pay very
yes.
close attention to that process as it does what it does, so I can kind of get more and more clear about who the players are and what the steps
yes.
are.
Yes. Now, another aspect of it that I would encourage you to look into, I was just talking with somebody recently about this process that I keep threatening to write a blog about, but it never happens, okay? What we tend to do as karmically conditioned people is exactly the thing that will get us what we say we don't want.
Yes, yes.
You're with me on that one.
I saw through it a little bit today, yes.
Okay, very good. So in a situation like this, so I'm a person who would like to have friends. I don't feel like I have enough friends. And so I can stay in a story of not having enough friends and then make every choice that makes sure that I'm not going to wind up with any friends.
Right, right. The story that I have is, you know, that's the person, Fred is the person that I want to have as my friend. Oh, but look, I went and did whatever with Fred, but Fred's not really paying the attention to me that I think Fred should pay attention, you know, the way I think Fred should pay attention. So now Fred's a crappy person, and I'm going to find everything wrong with Fred.
That's right. I'm going to reject him, and I'm going to, exactly.
I'm going to show him, and that way, then he'll be sorry because he won't get to have the good time that he could have had if he was my friend. This is like very kid place, but it happens. I mean, I hear it. It happens. I watch it happening.
Yeah, yeah. And so if we want friends, then the thing that we want to do is become master of being a friend.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We want to learn how to be a truly excellent friend.
Right, right. And where this is the place where I have watched conditioning start to make a program. And what I want, what I'm seeing with the morning call-in show is there's a place to be doing it that's coming from center and from the heart, not from this is the way a good friend looks, but from I care for myself, I care for these people, and this is how caring is.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. This is, I'm practicing being a good friend to people. That's what I'm practicing. So, you know, you can actually do it as kind of a little workshop. In fact, I have another retreat going on where people actually practice this kind of thing. And and it is being with people, learning to be with people in an interested, kind, friendly, helpful way, just practicing being that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And of course, what's revealed as we do that is everything that is keeping us from being that. So we get to that place again where we started out with, where we can see exactly how karma is doing what it's doing to keep us stuck in bondage to it.
Right, right. And what I've been really seeing about it is it makes this whole thing about relating to other people about what conditioning can get. Like, I need to feel a certain way, and that's an external thing with these external persons, other than if I want to feel, I want love, then I want to be in the process of love, and as soon as I'm in that process of love, then I'm loving everybody and everything, or I'm practicing doing that, and that's my experience, and it's so completely different, and I can just, you know, I just feel the karmic pull to do it conditioning's way, and I want to train in doing it the way that we're talking about every morning.
Yes, yes, yes. Doing it from love, from unconditional
doing it
love.
Life. Yep. Yep. Exactly, exactly. And it just feels so clear.
Say it again?
The distinction feels really clear right now.
Yes, yes. And the rules are the same for everything and always have been, right? I mean, it's what we've always been practicing toward.
Right.
That we're either identified with ego and that illusion of being separate from life and in that conditioned karmic story, or we're here in an interconnected, non-separate reality, experiencing life as compassionate and unconditionally loving.
Right, right. And I don't know if it's just the time and the place and the things that you're pointing out about, well, good for us all to have this opportunity to wake up, whether there's some real collective energy, but I'm finding this morning call in like one of the most powerful practice things we've ever done. It's amazing.
Yeah, Yeah. And, you know, Greta, it could just be that we're all ready.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. You know, we've been practicing a long time, and maybe it's kind of coming together for us.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm so grateful. It's just, it really feels like it's turning things on, at least in this way, it's turning the way I'm seeing completely around.
Yes,
so.
Yes, yes, yeah. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it?
Yes, so thank you very, very much. And to all
you are so welcome. It is such a joy.
Well, I'm glad we can all practice together.
Yeah, me too. Stay in touch, huh? Keep me posted about how it's going.
Thank you. Good night. Good night, Michael.
Good night.
Good night. Thanks for joining us, Greta. And Sherry, it's 1 minute to the hour, and it was just a fabulous show. I'm so grateful.
I think so. It was a good time, wasn't it?
Yes,
it was
great. Wonderful.
Yeah. Thank you for all you do, Michael, week after week after week. We all, I will speak for all of us, we all deeply appreciate it.
Oh, thank you very much, Sherry. It's a pleasure and great privilege to continue to do it.
Good, good. I'm so glad. All right.
Wonderful.
Well, thank you, sir, and good night.
Good night. Thank you, Sherry. Good night.